Rich Cole. You may also know me as Sven Gulli, and you're listening to the Big Scary News. Isn't most news these days scary?
Hello, boys and girls. This is the Big Scary News with your host, Drew Badger, bringing you all the latest up-to-the-minute news and goings-on in the haunt, horror, and Halloween industry. In addition, we have an interview you won't find anywhere else. The Big Scary News is very proudly brought to you by our title sponsor, Froggy's Fog, makers of the finest fog, smoke, snow, and scents. Visit them at froggiesfog.com. And now, boys and girls, don't be scared, because it's time for the Big Scary News.
What do you say we see what's shaking in the outer limits? Now, it may get a little hairy once in a while, but don't let it flip you out.
Hello, everyone. It's Drew Badger. This is the Big Scary News for episode 239. And unfortunately, we're going to have to start out with some sad news from one of our own. We are sad to report that Kevin Frodel from Sacramento, California, a.k.a. Frodo, who had worked at Heartstopper's Haunted Attraction as an actor and haunt manager, passed away last week at the all-too-young age of 30. He was a great actor who worked with them for several years, running actor workshops, and was a haunt manager at their Deadwoods attraction. He leaves behind a mother and sister. Frodo will be dearly missed. The Big Scary Show sends its deepest condolences to the family and friends of Kevin Frodel and offers up this moment of silence. A little bit lighter news, we have this update to Fright Kingdom in Nashua, New Hampshire. We are excited to announce that for the 2022 season, November 4th and 5th will be our In the Dark event where the actors can touch you. And we are bringing back our Hardly Haunted event for the first time since 2019. Bring the kids out on October 23rd with a rain date of October 30th for some festive fun. Tickets are on sale now at FrightKingdom.com. We have this news from Lake Hickory Haunts in Hickory, North Carolina. Lake Hickory Haunts is hosting the original screen-used Jeepers Creepers movie truck on October 14th and 15th. In addition, the cousin of the Jeepers Creeper will be available in costume for free photo ops and a meet and greet. The meet and greet is included with Lake Hickory Haunts admission at no additional charge. Be prepared to be scared and entertained when the Jeepers Creepers truck and the Creeper's cousin invade the best haunt in the Carolinas on October 14th and 15th. Get tickets online to reserve your spot before they sell out. Visit LakeHickoryHaunts.com for more details. We have this news from the Southeast Hollows Haunt Convention coming to Savannah, Georgia. The Southeast Hollows Haunt Convention is now open for vendor registration. We invite you to register early at sehhc.com. Early registration will ensure your choice of booth location. Spaces are sure to go quickly. Savannah's busy during the time of the convention, so we suggest booking hotels early to get better rates through their online booking sites. We've kept booth rates low to help offset hotel costs, and there are hotels available within a short drive to the convention center that do have better rates. With the tourists and general love for Halloween, we're sure to have a full house daily. Don't miss your chance to be part of this convention happening May 5th through the 7th, 2023. Register today. And sponsorships are available. Visit sehhc.com for more information. We have some more convention news, this time with an update to Days of the Dead coming to Chicago. It is with great pleasure that we announce the addition of actor Doug Bradley to the guest roster for Days of the Dead Chicago, happening November 18th through the 20th at the Crown Plaza O'Hare. A modern horror icon with no need for introduction, Doug Bradley is the chilling face behind one of the most recognizable faces in cinema, Pinhead, a role he has played 8 times in the Hellraiser franchise. Doug has also appeared in such films as Nightbreed, Book of Blood, and Wrong Turn 5, Bloodlines. Get more information at daysofthedead.com. We have this update from the Horror Hike haunted attraction in West Harrison, Indiana. After 10 years at our location in Greendale, Indiana, we have decided to relocate. Horror Hike will now be co-located with Horror House, our indoor haunted house just 20 minutes away from Lawrenceburg, Greendale. While we understand that a 20-minute drive may not be quite as convenient, we know that your experience will be much better. The West Harrison location offers much better parking, more room to hang out by the fire. Remember, we don't do lines at our haunts. Fair food, our zombie hunt, where you can shoot live zombies and interactive targets with airsoft guns, specially equipped for glow-in-the-dark ammo, and much more. Instead of just a 20-minute hike through Horror House, you will be able to spend the entire evening getting the scream scared out of you at Horror Hike and Horror House. Watch for upcoming announcements about our 2022 season at horrorhike.com. We have this news from the Ozark Nightmares Haunted House in Lebanon, Missouri. Ozark Nightmares Haunted House presents Murder Motel, opening Friday, September 30th from 7 to 11 p.m. and running every Friday and Saturday through October, and of course Halloween night. Only a $10 admission gets you the haunted house and the corn maze. There's always a vacancy at the Murder Motel. We will make room for you. Get more information at their Facebook page, facebook.com/OzarkNightmares. We have this news from the Westland Historic Village Haunted Yard Sale in Westland, Michigan. On September 24th, the Westland Historic Village will host its third annual Haunted Yard Sale. Guests are welcome to attend at no fee. Sales begin at 10 a.m. Food, water, and soda will be for sale. If you're a vendor, you may purchase a vendor ticket through Eventbrite for $30. Each ticket allows the vendor a 10x10 space for your tent, which must be anchored, and your products. All products must be fall or Halloween themed. We will not be able to provide tents, chairs, tables, or electricity. Vendors may set up between 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. Please do not start setting up before 8 a.m. This event is a rain or shine event. Refunds will not be extended if you are not able to attend. Please consider your vendor fee a donation to the museum. Get more information by visiting the Perrinville School in Westland, Michigan's Facebook page. We have some news on a paranormal investigation happening in Trenton, Florida. This comes to us via Brian Kramer and ParanormalAdventures.us. Join us for an investigation of the old Gilcrest County Jail built in 1928 that held prisoners for 40 years. Murdered inmates, a murder and body left in a room from a broken drug deal, lots of emotion from inmates. This location has shadow figures, disembodied voices, EVP activities, and more. All investigations we host are bring your own equipment. Also, no speeches about the history of the location. Our time is to investigate. You can Google it for the history. No time is wasted on equipment and instructions either. We keep our investigations as small as possible. No overcrowded rooms for the least sound contamination as possible. A quick chat before, and you're on your own to investigate the 2-floor jail facility and the adjoining office. This investigation is limited to just 8 people. This should be a good number to allow for a very effective evening of paranormal investigation. Happening Saturday night, November 5th, from 7 to 11 p.m., the cost is $60 a person. Since this group is so small and the location so active, only payment will hold your spot. If there's enough demand, we'll arrange an additional date soon after. If you think this night sounds good, don't wait. It will sell out fast. Get more information at the ParanormalAdventures.us Facebook group. We have this from the Purgatorium Haunted Attraction in Pensacola, Florida. We're sorry to announce that we will not be doing the haunt this year due to some medical issues that have arrived. We are definitely shooting for next year, so stay tuned for more updates regarding 2023 at our Facebook page, facebook.com/thepurgatorium. We have some news from the frightening haunted house in Haber Springs, Arkansas. This is the time of year where we're asking for volunteers and planning our haunt. After much discussion, we have decided to pause for 2022 and not open. We just need a break. We hope all of you have a fun Halloween season and enjoy as many haunts as possible, but keep up with updates regarding next year at facebook.com/thefrighteninghauntedhouse. We have this news from Haunters Against Hate. Haunters Against Hate has announced submissions are now being accepted for Volume 9 of the Book of Haunters. Send high-resolution pics of your haunt character to paul@hauntersagainsthate.com for consideration. For more information about Haunters Against Hate, this very worthy charity cause, visit hauntersagainsthate.com. We have this from the second annual Booze and Booze Halloween Mini Market in Norfolk, Virginia. It's back! Booze and Booze Halloween Mini Market is making its return to Collie Avenue on October 28th at the Reaver NFK Brewery. Get ready to sip on Halloween-themed brunch beer cocktails while shopping from our spooky and eclectic friends. All our vendors will have Halloween-themed items to shop from, and we'll even have a Halloween photo booth for the pups. Costumes are encouraged. Get more information at facebook.com/ReaverNFK. We have this news from the Creepy Hollow Woods in Jay, Florida. We're looking for 15 section managers for our haunted trail. This is obviously a seasonal position. The position is relatively unique in nature and will have the following requirements. Applicants must be 25 or older, and you must have your own transportation. Assisting in managing our volunteer acting force for your section of the trail. Ensure your actors are in proper costume and attire, and makeup is completed, fog machines filled, and communicate any maintenance issues with our management team. Ensure your section is put to bed at the end of a show night. This will be discussed on site. Ensure the safety and well-being of our actors and staff, and report any issues to our GM, security, and ownership groups as needed. Individuals must be willing to come out to learn the sections where everything is and assist in finishing sections in preparation to open for the haunt season. It is required that individuals are aware that it is mandatory for them to attend on all show nights. September 23rd, 24th, the 29th, and 30th, and every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in October from 4 p.m. to close. If you feel you're a fit for this position, please reach out to us at our Facebook page, facebook.com/creepyhollowwoodsfl. We have some sad news from the Mayhem Mansion and Haverdord's Hollow in Morning View, Kentucky. We would like to thank everyone that has supported us through all these years. It is with a heavy heart we have had to make the tough decision to close our doors permanently. We would like to thank all the wonderful volunteers that have given their time and sometimes blood to make this such a great experience. We also thank our fans and dedicated patrons that have come out to play with us year after year. You all will be greatly missed. Keep up with any updates at facebook.com/TheMayhemMansion. And finally, we have this news from the upcoming Netflix series, Wednesday. This comes to us via BloodyDisgusting.com. Tim Burton is bringing the Addams Family back to the small screen with Netflix's Wednesday, but we have learned that the series is not part of Netflix's Halloween slate. Netflix released their full Netflix and Chills lineup for the year, and though Wednesday is still set for a Fall 22 premiere, it seems it's not coming along in time for Halloween. Wednesday is listed on the official Netflix and Chills lineup that was sent out recently as part of coming later this year, meaning we can likely expect it in November or December. So of course, stay tuned for more as we learn it Needless to say, Wednesday feels tailor-made for Halloween viewing, but we expect this series will be a hit no matter when it premieres. And that wraps up the news for this episode. Stay tuned for the interview here on The Big Scary News. Do you need fog or snow for your haunted attraction or theatrical event? Are you looking for that perfect haze effect? How about scents to give your haunt that extra realism? If you answered yes to any of these, then you need to head over to froggiesfog.com and check out their line of world-famous frog juice, haze juice, artificial snow, and bubble juice. Whether you're a home hunter buying a gallon a year or a major theme park buying 25,000 gallons a year, you can be certain that your satisfaction is their highest priority. They have everything you need when it comes to the highest quality fog and haze fluids. If you're looking for that perfect low-lying stage fog, the longest-lasting water-based fog, the right haze juice for your machine, a bubble juice that outperforms the rest, or a snow juice that evaporates after floating 30 feet, Froggy's Fog has that and so much more. Froggy's Fog also has scent additives that are compatible with any water-based fog, haze, snow, and bubble fluid. For more information, visit froggiesfog.com. That's froggiesfog.com.
Hey, this is Tater. Come buy your fog from me, because if you don't, I'll be homeless.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here. We're live at the Haunters Against Hate convention here in Lexington, Kentucky. And for the past couple of days here, I have been astonished at this person walking around dressed as and acting as, and if I didn't know better, I would say it was, Edgar Allan Poe. You know, so much of us read his things. Everyone's familiar with a lot of his different stories, the movies, the screenplays, all that stuff. But we have a professional, for lack of a better word, a professional Edgar Allan Poe performing at Haunters Against Hate. His name is Campbell Harmon. He is channeling Edgar Allan Poe this weekend for some stage performances, and I am assuming at other places. But congratulations, sir. Everybody seems to really enjoy your work.
Thank you very much. The audience has been great here, and I'm getting very good feedback about the show and about their interactions and so on, and I'm having a good time.
And you're doing a question and answer meet and greets after you give your performance and your show there.
Correct. So my normal show is about an hour long, and I do dramatic performances of The Telltale Heart, The Raven, Annabelle Lee, Conqueror Worm, and then talk about Poe's life. And then afterwards, on stage, I do Q&A as Poe, answering questions about his life and his legend and a lot of misinformation that's out there about him.
It's a fascinating and troubling life of Edgar Allan Poe, according to what everybody says. So I'm assuming you probably have a lot of in-depth knowledge, and there may be some myths out there that you know how to dispel, or you know the quote-unquote real story behind. What is there a prevailing myth of Edgar Allan Poe that most people believe that's just simply not true?
Yes, so there's a host of myths that are perpetuated by one guy. So there's one person to really blame for a lot of these problems, and that's a former frenemy of Poe's, Reverend Rufus Wilmot Griswold. And Griswold, after Poe's death, published the first biography of him and published the first obituary of him and made up almost whole cloth the ideas that he was a... not only an abusive alcoholic, now he had trouble with alcohol, but an abusive alcoholic, a man who cheated on his wife, a man who fathered illegitimate children, someone who stole money from his friends, someone who abused opium, someone who abused just the people around him and so on. And all of that legend that you know of as Edgar Allan Poe, the madman, not just the troubled human being, but the madman, can be traced directly back to Rufus Griswold's writings about him. And so I talk about that as well.
Interesting. How did you get so involved in the life of Edgar Allan Poe?
So I was a haunter. Well, still, I'm a retired haunter at this point.
Do we really retire from it?
I know, right? Yeah. And so in 2009, I was working with a wonderful haunted attraction that gave me an opportunity to make a scene that I wanted to make, and it was an anniversary of Poe's birth. And so I started creating the scene about Poe, and I have an academic background, and so I don't just, like, make a character. I have to go study it and do all this stuff because that makes me happy. It makes my nerd, you know, touches the nerd spot just right to do the research. And at the same time, a friend of mine was working working in a state theater that had a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, what's called the Big Read Program. And it promotes literature and reading for kids and for adults all over the country. And they were looking for an Edgar Allan Poe actor to play this part and to do this historic reenactment. And she said to me, you should go up and read for it. You should go up and try for this part. And I'm like, no, this is a professional theater. They have real actors. I'm a haunter. You know, that's not going to go anywhere. She said, no, do it.
You're a real actor if you're a haunter.
Well, exactly. So that's just it. Being an actor in a haunt is in the trenches and learning it just like doing stand-up comedy at a bar. You have to deal with troubled audiences and get people on your side. And I didn't know that that had taught me so much as an actor. I didn't realize that. And so I went up, read for the part. They loved what I did, and they loved that I was coming at it from an educational standpoint. And I was able to do 13 shows for the first run with the NEA grant. And then when I was done, the woman who was managing me said, you know, you're good at this and you enjoy doing it. You should just keep doing it. And I did. And so since then, I've worked for I've done that same grant work 4 more times around the country. And then I continue to do libraries, historic societies, and weird conventions, wonderful conventions just like this.
So the first time you did it, were you as Poe or were you as Camel doing Poe?
So the first time it was exactly like my show now. I do the same thing. I made the decision early on that I was coming at it as Poe is dead. The guy before you is dead and knows full well his legend and all of the misinformation that came out after him. Because if I treated it like he was alive, he wouldn't know any of that stuff. And is able to answer all those questions. And so when I go on stage at any show, whether it's 3 people in a living room, which I've done that, up to 300 people, I think, at one point in a really large stage area, it's always Poe is come to life before you. You're having this time with him. He even read his own works in front of audiences when he became famous for The Raven. So it's actually something he did in his lifetime. He answered questions about his own works in his lifetime, too. It's just that I'm taking the extra educational step of explaining what happened after that.
How difficult is it to become Poe? I mean, you can put on the costume, you can put a wig on, do the makeup and everything, but how hard is it to really get into the mindset that for the next 2 hours, I'm Edgar Allan Poe? When you're standing outside, getting ready to walk into a stage and get the makeup and stuff put on.
So for me, and I can't answer for any other actor, but for my process, once my wig, my costume goes on and I see myself in the mirror, that's a major step because it's not me. It's not the actor anymore. I can see the character. And so that sort of turns on the right part of my brain that has all the trivia that I've been studying and memorizing for years now. And walking onto stage when I'm being introduced, it's no longer me on stage. And and I have to be completely honest, it's not Poe either, because Poe was a very complex human being. He was described as being very quiet, very educated with a soft Southern accent. And I'm very big and very broad and very loud, and I have a twangy Eastern Kentucky accent, which has been worked on over the years because I live in the North now. So it's a bigger stage version that needs to be big to read on stage for audiences correctly. And so it is a stage version of this character with an enormous amount of factual information in the background to back it up. So I always describe it as it's actually a history lesson just wrapped in a stage show, so you don't realize what you're about to get.
What would you say is the most obscure piece of Edgar Allan Poe trivia that people should know?
So I don't know that this is going to help anybody's information, but the most obscure piece that I think is just fascinating is that he was at the University of Virginia in the second year of its founding. And at that time period, now I can't prove this, but I know that this is true. All of the students, and it was only men who could be students in higher education in those days in America, all of those students at that school had dinner with the founder of the school. And he was there at the right time to have this dinner. And that founder was Thomas Jefferson. So it's highly likely that Edgar Allan Poe had dinner with Thomas Jefferson, and I think that's a really amazing fact to know.
It really is kind of a fascinating thing. You'd never associate the two being together, running in the same circles, but yet there they are.
And I say that on stage specifically to help people understand the time period that we're talking about. It's early America. Everything is new. Nothing is set in stone. Everything is a one big experiment. Democracy is an experiment. America is made up of all of these immigrants that have no social sharing at all. And all of a sudden, all of this new stuff is happening. Democracy, the Founding Fathers, and people like Poe and Hawthorne Hawthorne are creating American short stories that never existed before. And it's really exciting to realize that time period and all those changes that were happening. And now it kind of, I kind of have a better understanding of the amount of stress that all of those changes that are happening in America can cause, too.
Are there other people who do Poe around the country? And if so, do you contact with each other? Have you seen somebody else's? And have they seen yours? Have you had feedback from somebody who's a quote-unquote professional Poe?
Yes. There used to be another actor in Massachusetts who was wonderful, and I'm so sorry that I'm forgetting his name right this moment. I saw him perform, loved his performance. He was actually doing a co-performance with another historic reenactor, and he and I chatted online a bit, and we discussed that one nice thing is that we didn't do the same type of show, which was good, so there was no sort of overlap in the kind of things audiences would look for. And he was such a wonderful guy that he actually moved to Pennsylvania somewhat recently, talked to me and handed over some of his regular performances so that they could keep going and have me take over because he moved into a different job and needed a little bit of a break. Wonderful guy. I know there's a lot of other Poe actors down around Baltimore and Richmond, of course, and in his old haunting grounds, and I haven't had a chance to talk with any of them yet, but the one that I met was great.
What is your opinion on the mysterious stranger that used to leave the flowers and cognac, I think it was cognac, on his grave? And then mysteriously stopped about a dozen years ago. People say he died, or she, we don't know. Any clues? Did anybody ever figure out who that was?
So you're talking about the Poe toaster.
Yes.
Toast is in toast with a drink.
Yes.
And that's one of those great parts of the legend that just adds to the legend and is so dramatic. And yes, the Poe toaster was definitely real. And in 2009 or 10, I believe, is when the Poe toaster left behind a message on the grave that said, "Someone else will take my place." And then that no one showed up the year after that. And then a year after that, somebody showed up in like a limousine and was clearly just looking for the attention. And to this day, so far, no one knows who the Poe toaster was and if they were just a dedicated fan or had some sort of familial connection to Poe. The best theory I ever heard was that it was the head of the Baltimore Tourism Board, and I just think that's great, and if that's true, that's wonderful. But
That's Americana.
That's totally American. Yes, absolutely. But as of right now, it is one of those great mysteries, and I kind of hope it's never solved because the mystery will always outlive an answer, and the mystery is always a lot more interesting. So I love it, and I hope no one solves it.
Any plans to sneak down there on his birthday and do that?
I have nothing to say about this. And anything that's going to sort of happen may happen, but I can't guarantee you. You know, can neither confirm nor deny.
Well, Mr. Harmon, or Mr. Poe, it has been an absolute delight to speak to you here on The Big Scary Show. Do you have any upcoming appearances? Are you appearing at a theater or a historical group or speaking to somebody, say, in the next 2 to 3 months, and where can people get more information? Maybe they're interested in booking you for a performance or anything like that, websites, social medias, and schedules.
Absolutely. I have, so right now, this is the time that we are talking together, is in the summer, and this is usually when I start to get bookings. My website is thepoeactor.com, and at that website is all of my booking information and my calendar for upcoming shows. I have a few shows coming up in Hartford, Connecticut. I'm based out of Connecticut, so it's mostly New England. And I have another show that's actually going to happen in Virginia, and it's a horror writers association that booked me. That's going to be next year. But right around this time is when I'm starting to populate my calendar, so it's in process. And so check out thepoeactor.com to find everything that's going to be upcoming throughout the year. Everybody wants Poe in October.
Of course.
Everybody wants Poe in October. And so that books up quickly. And I try to encourage people, you know, September works, January for, you know, works as well there, because the Raven is set in the middle in December, so December works too. So you can have Poe year-round. It doesn't have to be just October.
Haunted houses should be having you as a special guest.
Haunted houses that have a spot for somebody to do poetry readings, absolutely. Have me as a guest for that one. It takes the right kind of crowd to be involved, to be able to sit and listen to that. And I love haunters, and I love haunted attractions, but got to understand your audience too.
Oh, yes. So thepoeactor.com. Camel Harmon, a.k.a. Edgar Allan Poe, a pleasure to have you here on A Big Scary Show.
Thank you so much. An absolute pleasure to talk to you today.
Absolutely. My name is Drew Badger. Once again for The Big Scary Show, we're at the Haunters Against Hate Convention here in beautiful Lexington, Kentucky on a cold, dreary Saturday afternoon, almost like a midnight weary, or yep. as it goes. And I won't try to remember any more of that. Anyway, folks, I'm out. We'd like to thank the Ghastly Ones for laying down the tunes for this show. Also, we'd like to thank once again Froggy's Fog for being our title sponsor, froggiesfog.com. Make sure to check out the Big Scary Show next week for even more news, music, rants, phobias, interviews, the Round Table of Terror, and so much more at our redesigned website, bigscaryshow.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and stay on top of everything happening in the world of haunts, horror, and Halloween. Once again, this is Drew Badger saying good night.